Just a couple of days ago, my mother-in-law was looking for a sink, so we went and knocked on the door. Someone was selling a sink, and I noticed that at the front of the house, this person had a big wooden cross about this tall, you know, stuck in the ground. And I was impressed. I look at that cross. It's like something close, like the real, you know, a real Roman cross. And maybe for nowadays, the word cross and the cross itself is, in a general sense, well known or known, at least in a big part of the world, and people are acquainted at least with the cross of Christ. Not exactly with what it means, but with the cross. But when we think about back in those days when the apostles were preaching, and in fact, I'm here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to read with me verse 17, we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, that Paul wrote, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Back in those days when Paul was writing and when the event happened, that the Savior will be crucified and died for our sins was a radical message, just like in the days of Joshua when he was told what to do to conquer the city of Jericho. He was told to march around the city. I'm like, what's going on? What is this tactic? This is something new. This is something unthought of. And yes, the cross itself was something unthought of. Only through the wisdom of God, that message, that happening of the cross came to exist, and that message came to be preached. So it was a radical message. So if you're still in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn your pages to chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 are very powerful. I'm not going to read them all, these verses, because of the time. But in this section, verses 1 through 5, 1 Corinthians 2, again, he's going to go back and say, what is the message of the cross? In fact, he's going to say what it is not or where it doesn't come from. And he's going to give a list. The message of the cross is not found in the wisdom of the wise. It's not there. The message of the cross is not found in the understanding of the prudent. And of course, he's not talking about just prudence, but the prudence of the world, as we will see. The message of the cross is not found in the wisdom of the world, which means in the wise or the scribes or the disputers of this world. You're not going to find the message of the cross in there. Okay, later we're going to see it. Why? Because no one will boast in his presence saying, I came up with that message. I came up with a way of being saved. No one is going to boast in the presence of God. Everyone has to come to the message of the cross. And that message of the cross, we would not have known it had God not revelated and made it happen to Jesus Christ and the apostles preach it and register here for us. So now, when we go to Paul is going to give some synonyms of the message of the cross. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 1:17, it is the message of the gospel. It's the same thing. Okay, right there in verse 18. The message of the cross is the power of God. Now, in 2:21, he's going to say the message of the cross is equal as the message that saves. Okay, so the only message that saves is the message of the gospel, the message of the cross. Now, in 2:23, he's going to say the message of the cross is the same as preaching Christ and him crucified. Now, in verse 24, 2:24, he's going to say the message of the cross is equal to the power of God and to the wisdom of God. So this is my point. The wisdom of man will not have, or would have, they would have dictated another type of way to be saved. And nowadays, still, the message of the world in general will dictate many different ways in which we can be saved. Or at least, you know, go to heaven, it will be said. But only the wise mind of God was able to come across this way to be saved. Never heard of. Never thought of. As radical as Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho. As radical as Naaman dipping himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Who would have thought of that? Only God, because the wisdom of God is above And it says the foolish of God is wiser than the wisest of the men. So my point is this. By the way, not even the devil himself was expecting this to happen. When Christ was dying on the cross, he thought he was winning. But in fact, he was losing. The Son of Man, the Son of Woman was crushing his head right there when he was chanting for victory, that he was dying. Now, the invitation is this. If you go to chapter 2, verse 2. Notice this. I'm going to have to read this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, 2:1 and following. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined, notice this, because this is the key point of this invitation, this verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, I've heard different, you know, motivational speakers speak, and I've read, you know, a few, you know, bestseller books that, you know, give you general messages, that they motivate you, give you ideas for life and so on. But none of them are going to, you know, give you the message of salvation straight to the point, straight to what you need. Okay, most of them will try to please you. And if you are in an issue, they're going to try to say it's okay. Just enjoy it or whatever. But when you come to the message of the cross, you need to realize that there's sin in between you and God. And that's the part of the message of the cross. Now, in Galatians 4:4, if you remember that passage, it says that when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son, born out of a woman, born under the law. Now, this is the wisdom of God, you know, preparing the message of the cross. So this is a perfect time when there was a famine of the Word of God. Okay, there was a perfect time where there was a great expectation of the Messiah to come. It was a great, at the perfect time where there was religious division among the religious leaders of the Jews. And especially, it was a special time when the Roman cross was being used to punish guilty people. That was a perfect time. So God chose that time. And then in John 3, you remember John 3:16? Well, if you go back a couple of verses, and I'm going to read them for you real quick, and I'm winding down on the invitation. But look at this message of the cross. Beginning in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I lost my place. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Why? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the cross was fundamental for this message to exist and for us to be able to preach it. What would have been of us had this event not happened, or has this message not been preached to us? I don't know. We would be, you know, far gone from here. Who knows where or doing what if it wasn't for the message of the cross. So this is the invitation of the Lord. In Acts 2:36, Peter is going to say that this Jesus whom you crucified, God had made Him both Lord and Savior. And then that's when they were pricking their heart and they say, brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter answered, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, so this is what we must do if we want to take advantage of this cross of Christ. Now, as Christians, and this message of Corinthians focuses on preachers, how they preachers will should preach the cross of Christ, nothing else. Also, Christians should be looking for someone who will teach you the cross of Christ, nothing else, or everything that applies to it. But if you're not a Christian, and let me end with this passage, Galatians 6. I'm going to make application out of Paul himself. If you want to go with me, Galatians 6. I'm going to be reading verse 11. I know time already ran out, but notice this. Galatians 6:11. Keep in mind the cross and the message of the cross. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, notice, these will compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But notice, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in the flesh. But God forbid that I should boast in either message of wisdom, in my own preparation, in my own knowledge, in my own talent, you know, in being chosen as an apostle, in how, you know, eloquent I could be. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the application, here's the invitation. By whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In your life, in my life, the cross will be useless if we have not taken the cross and its message to kill ourselves, to die to Christ. And this is the invitation. If you're not a Christian, you have not died for Christ. No matter how acquainted you could be with the cross that you see on a neighbor's front yard, no matter how acquainted you may be with the cross you may be hanging on your neck, the purpose of the cross is that we will die and be crucified to our sins. Have you done that tonight? If you're not a Christian, this is the invitation of the Lord. We would like for you to assist you, to help you, that you may die for your sins by believing in the gospel, in this message, by and this producing faith in you, by you confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting of the sins that go against the purpose of the cross of Christ, of the message of God, having sent His Son, and then by being baptized in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. Now, if you're already a Christian and you have not been dying to Christ, we encourage you, and we would love for you to, you know, make things right, and we'll be so happy to in any way assist you, whatever your need is, while we stand and while we sing this song of invitation.